Welcome to No Longer Conformed, my online preaching and teaching ministry. We're studying the book of 1 Corinthians. I've entitled this study, Serving Unity. In this session, we'll be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 12 to 20. Straight talk on sex. People talk about sex all the time today. It is an important topic. We need to heed the Word of God, which requires sexual purity outside of marriage and sexual fidelity inside of marriage. Changing laws will not solve problems, but allowing Jesus to change our hearts will. We need straight talk about sex from the Bible. Permissiveness is a big problem regarding sexual activity. Premarital, extramarital, and homosexual. Just like today, Corinth was a permissive place with respect to sexual behavior. Paul warned about the attraction of society's permissive ways. God intends sex only for marriage, in that marriage is to be only with the opposite sex, one male and one female. And in this session, we look at God's Word on sex. First, look at the addictiveness of sex. Verse 12. You see, God forgives every sin of a believer. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7 states, "In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace." And in verse 12 here, Paul says, "All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." The word power means mastered. The price of abusing freedom, abusing grace, is high. Sin always has a consequence. No sin is more enslaving than sexual sin. And anyone can easily become addicted to sinful sexual behavior. Sin drains a believer of joy. Sin robs a believer of peace. Sin renders a believer useless. Sin invites the chastening of God. And sexual sin controls with an addictive power. A believer must never allow sin to have that kind of power. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." So look at the addictiveness of sex, but also, second, look at the harmfulness of sex. Verse 13, "Foods for the stomach and stomach for the foods, but God will destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body." Paul used an analogy of food and sex. Food is for the stomach, and the stomach is for food. But the same is not true for the body and sexual sin. Rationalizing behavior, it's not a new idea. Dualism taught that the spiritual and the physical were separate entities, that one does not affect the other. It kind of goes like this. Since the body is separate from the spirit, and since sex is only of the body, sex does not impact the spiritual condition. On the contrary, there are consequences. Guilt, destroyed self-image, distrust, unwanted pregnancies, diseases, even death. Sexual immorality is harmful to any believer. And third, look at the oneness of sex. Verses 14 down to verse 17. And God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by His power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Paul spoke of the oneness of sexual expression. The sexual act unites a husband and wife in one flesh. And the apostle explained that you can be one with only one person. Believers' bodies in the Lord Jesus Christ have a unique, eternal relationship that never perishes. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 35, forward. 1 Corinthians 15, 35. But someone will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as He pleases. And to each seed its own body. All flesh is not the same flesh. But there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of animals, another of fish, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies. But the glory is of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And as was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, so shall we also bear the image of the heavenly man. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this incorruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. Verse 15 here is very powerful. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. The sense of certainly not in the Greek is, may it never be so. Verse 16 then emphasizes the one flesh principle. Do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her. For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. The Spirit dwells in a believer. So Christians are one with Christ. What an argument. Sex outside marriage for Christians is a serious offense against the Lord. Paul goes on to explain even more in verse 18. Look at the divisiveness of sex. Verse 18. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. We are called to... No, we're commanded to make personal decisions about sexual immorality. Flee sexual immorality. The Greek tense of flee is present imperative, which means to continually make it your habit to flee. Present imperative. Watch your thought. Guard your situations. Control your actions. Sexual sin is so destructive. No sin has more potential to destroy the body. Intimate, addicting, corrupting. History indicates venereal diseases were a problem in Paul's day. If that's not enough, look at verses 19 and 20. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. The picture of the temple of the Holy Spirit is here. The Holy of Holies, where the high priest entered once a year after extensive spiritual cleansing. The price paid for you, that precious blood of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. Knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You hear a lot about sex, but to be obedient to God, you need to hear and heed God's straight talk on sex from His Word. What is a Christian's supreme purpose in life? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. You give that some thought, and you have a great day.